My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny's, the law firm Condorian Murrah. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction, help you draft a will, set up a revocable trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. You will get a discount. KMLawyers.com. Commanders open the preseason Saturday afternoon against the Jets. We can open up the phones at 800-636-1067 for any of your takeaways and to find out who impressed you. Let's separate Jaden Daniels for a second because we've talked quite a bit about him. Otherwise, let's talk standouts. I will start with Ben Sinnott, who led the team with 57 receiving yards, had the 44-yard catch and run where the Jets defenders couldn't get him to the ground. 3 for 57 on 3 targets for him. I can't stress enough how big I feel like this was because he'd had a fairly quiet training camp. You just didn't see him popping a whole lot. And then I loved subsequently after the game where he said, you know, my game is the part that you're not going to see in practices, meaning the broken tackles, basically. So I haven't been able to show that. And so that was cool to see a little Chris Cooley vibe from him. I think Zach Ertz is going to be their most targeted tight end when he's healthy early in the year. Sinnott will do a lot more blocking and a lot less 44-yard reception here and there. It's just not going to happen a ton. But Ertz is not going to stay healthy for 17 games if recent history tells us anything. So there's going to be a role for Ben Sinnott, maybe early in the year, and he looked ready for what it's worth against backups for the Jets.
So I'm going to throw Jerry McNichols in there. Now, the numbers aren't eye-popping. I think it was 10 yards rushing and one catch. But the catch is what really impressed me. Out of the backfield, one of those, I think it's an arrow route where he sort of darts out and, you know, kind of cuts across the face of the defender. But a catch in traffic for a first down, got hit from behind and kind of head on as well, showed some chops receiving out of the backfield. This is going to be interesting, the decision they make in that running back room. Do they want another Brian Robinson type, a.k.a. Chris Rodriguez, 6 carries, I think, for 0 yards all put together, or a kind of poor man's Austin Eckler to sort of maybe build the bridge? And it looked like McNichols had the better early day there when you're looking at that running back rotation. He's kind of another version of Eckler. Obviously, no one's as proficient as Eckler at being Austin Eckler, but he's more of that school.
Yeah, I think McNichols gives them more, to your point, in the way of versatility. But if you're talking about a last back in as like a third RB, to me, I'd go younger with upside. That's just the way you drafted a guy last year in the 6th round. Now, obviously, it wasn't this staff, and they don't care about the last staff. But I would tend to go that route over someone the likes of which you could probably find on the waiver wire.
Which they just
any
did.
Day of the week. I mean, not to say that you couldn't do that with a Chris Rodriguez type as well, but you didn't invest as much in McNichols. But yeah, I would, if I had to guess right now, I would think McNichols, who they chose over Rodriguez, who the Marty Party chose, would be the lean. But Rodriguez was good when he played last year, led the team in rushing yards per attempt. How about Diami Brown? I'll go stock up on Diami coming out of preseason game one. 3 targets, 2 catches for 55 yards. We've talked a lot about the 42-yard completion from Jaden Daniels' perspective. As far as Brown, made a nice move at the line of scrimmage. Got by a rookie DB, by the way, from LSU.
Oh.
Jaden Daniels picking on one of his teammates from a year ago.
Go after that guy.
Who's trying to show well for the Jets. But Diami Brown won, got an edge, a step. As you said, not a ton of separation, but on that go route, that's kind of what, that's open in the NFL. I've got to step on you, you lead me, and I kind of adjust and track the football. That's exactly what he did. He also had a 13-yard or so catch on an in-breaking route a little later on a seed. I think it was from Driscoll, if memory serves.
I think that's right, yeah.
But Diami had a very good camp. The couple days I've been out there, both days you notice him 2 or 3 times, and you can't ask for a whole lot more in very limited opportunity in the first preseason game. If, in fact, we're saying that Jahan Dotson played more than we thought he was going to, he played a lot in the slot. I think it was like almost 60% of his time was in the slot in this preseason game. Well, that means someone on the outside is going to have to step up. And outside of McLaurin, who's in line to do that? Could be Diami Brown.
Olamide Zaccheaus. Now, the stat, again, not much of a stat line. His big catch and run was negated by a penalty. But
24 yards.
But
came
it,
back.
It was the kind of thing that I covet. It's open initially. It's very San Francisco, right? Where somebody's open, there's a little bit of separation, they catch it, and they have time to turn and make a move. And he's now a punt returner in open field. Speaking of punt returns, I thought showed well in that regard, too. That's an asset right there. So he may be kind of the younger Jamison Crowder.
You know how much I like Olamide Zaccheaus. He's only 5'8". He went to the University of Virginia. Far from a big guy, but I just think he's got wiggle. They don't have a whole lot of after-the-catch ability. Like, that hasn't been a strength of Terry McLaurin's even, who's their best wide receiver by far. I think they could add some of that to their room if they keep the 27-year-old. He was with the Eagles last year. He's been with the Falcons. He's been around a little bit now. But if he is the punt returner, he's on the team, and I think he's in anyway. I'm ready to write that one in pen. I'm not going to break out the Sharpie yet, Danny, but I'll use a pen. 19-yard punt return was pretty good, and you said it. He's a younger version, probably a more dynamic, explosive version of Jamison Crowder. So I would be shocked if he's not on the roster.
Again, this is now you start to run into that math problem, right? Where, well, if you keep the, I'm just making up a number, you keep the 10th defensive lineman, or you keep Jamin Davis as this, and I'm assuming they keep Jamin Davis, but you know what I mean? Like, if you keep this extra safety, where do we have to make a cut? And if we don't have a kick returner, do we have to hold a roster spot for that guy? Like, is Byron Pringle so special at returning this newfangled kick that we can't do this or that? But right now, it would look like he's on the inside with other people kind of outside looking in.
Speaking of wide receivers, what do you think of Luke McCaffrey? 3 targets, 2 catches, 25 yards. He had the one little dagger in breaking kind of dig that he caught and made a move and made a defender miss for 19 yards, and he had a 6-yard catch otherwise.
Yeah, it's always so hard to tell at that point in the game, though, you know, where like who's he going against? It looked like he was more comfortable, more fluid, and better than those guys.
Second half.
I'd love to see an early game Luke McCaffrey. You know what I mean? Like, he looked good in that spot, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Third quarter of this game is not the same as third quarter when their starters start, because their backups were on the field in the first drive. So you're pretty much going against the last guys on their roster for that second half.
Right, which I didn't say very well. That's what I was trying to get to, and I didn't. I did a lot of word salad. But that's what I want an early game Luke McCaffrey. I'd love to be able to evaluate him against ones and twos, right? Because, he looked smooth and crisp and like that thing that's been advertised. But it was the second half against guys who won't be in the league.
He was targeted on the first play of the second half and made a nice catch right away. It was like a sprint out, a speed out kind of for 6 yards. And then he came back with the in route on the same drive or maybe the next drive for the 19-yard catch and run. So not a whole lot of chance to see him, but that was at least good to see him involved. Bryson Tremaine, who was one of the camp stories. You were out last week, but he was one of the guys we had on the show when I went out to camp and grabbed some interviews. I am hopefully makes the roster. He's kind of what you and I have talked about this team needing for a long time. 6'4",
yep.
Can get down the field vertically. And I love his catch radius. I thought the catch he made showed that. He went way up the ladder. Like he was on a lifeguard stand.
That middle of the field catch?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Used his reach. It was like a lob
from Hartman,
ball
yeah.
from Hartman. Speaking of Sam Hartman, he got banged up. Some kind of shoulder injury. They didn't really talk about it on the telecast. I'm not sure exactly what happened, and I haven't heard Dan's definitive answer on how long he'll be out, but it sounds like day-to-day might miss the Miami game. He finished 8 of 13 for 83 yards. I cannot stress to you, Danny, how much better he looked in that preseason game than I thought. All the way back to the combine, you watch him in drills. That ain't it. That's why he didn't get drafted, probably. He's not going to impress you in a workout. At practice, when they're doing their throw to the net thing, there's some times where you go, "Yeah." One of those.
No, to the net, Sam.
Grab the collar and pull it away from your neck. I hate the term gamer.
That's like what he is.
That old Taylor Heinicke thing.
Yeah.
Clearly, he's got that because I'm sitting there watching going, okay, Sam, like he's kind of out here making some things happen a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's who he is. Lights are on better than, you know, your workout numbers or otherwise. Limited ceiling, but still, I was pretty impressed with him. And you mentioned the toughness. Now, again, it's a different telecast than we're normally used to. It's a little bit more scramble drill because there's 80, 90, 100 players for both teams. You're trying to figure out who's who and, you know, get to the next thing and talking about bigger themes. That, see if you remember this play. I think it was to Tremaine on the near sideline as you're looking at the telecast, right? So the sideline closest to us. Hartman is under pressure, kind of has to throw it a little bit further outside than you'd like because the defender's there.
Yeah, he made like a diving attempt at it and couldn't catch it.
So what do we, like, that's the kind of play where I go, I'd love to know. Is that Hartman doing everything he could? Is that bad ball placement? Is that Tremaine not getting to the right spot?
Well,
those are the kinds of things I'd love to be able to digest.
To me, that play was just not well enough to be caught. Right? Like, Tremaine made a crazy, I almost caught that effort.
Right.
And if he would have caught it, it would have been an incredible diving catch. But when you're kind of fully extended and it gets to the fingers or whatever, I don't know. I didn't put that on him. I just thought that ball was not accurate. But I don't remember. I don't think he was set. Like, I think he was running or eluding the rush.
Yeah, he was moving away from a hit that was happening.
I think he was trying to make a football play, and they just couldn't link up. Anybody else on offense before we go to the defensive side of the ball? Oh, Jeff Driscoll. I'll continue to say this. Is Jeff Driscoll worse than Marcus Mariota? I think Driscoll's their second best quarterback. He's made 12 starts. He can run. You saw that. He made some decent little throws. We didn't really see anything from Mariota. He only had one pass and one drive that ended pretty quickly. I don't know. I just don't think there's much of a gap between those two. That's all. Like, if
it's not crazy.
Mariota's going to be the backup. And if something happens to Jaden Daniels in game, Mariota's going to come in. But if they had to start someone for four games, I don't think there's a difference between Mariota and Driscoll. And I'm not convinced that Driscoll isn't the better of the two at this point.
Yeah, the only difference is draft status or pedigree, honestly, at this stage. At this point, you know, I'm fine with either. I probably even lean Driscoll. One of the other shout-out I would say, Brian Robinson. Nothing special. It's preseason. He's going downhill, but God, that dude runs so hard.
He does.
You know, that there's, I think there was one where there's a lot of trash around the line of scrimmage on one of those third and shorts, and he just like rumbled and carried four different people. It's like midseason form for that guy. He turned 3 into 5.5 just because he's running tough.
Kaz Allen got a end-around opportunity, like where they pitched it back to him. I think it may have been negated by a penalty. And then they also gave him a 12-yard throw for a completion. Mm-hmm. Remember all the people talking about him last year maybe making the team? I think he's way down the depth chart now. But I just like there's at least some intrigue, clearly, from this coaching staff's perspective in him. When you're designing him a run in the backfield, coming around in motion and jet action, or when you're throwing him the football a couple times on screens, including at the end of the game, he dropped that pass on the last throw. But they clearly think if he gets the ball in space, that he can make a play.
Yeah, it says they're interested in seeing it.
Exactly.
At a minimum, yeah.
Defensively, first thing I noticed, the first two plays of the starters, or when he was out there anyway, was Jamin Davis at edge, and he made tackles for 1 and 2 yard runs. It was 2 plays, 3 yards. He kind of did a nice job on the edge. All of his snaps came at defensive end. All of them. Hand in the dirt for the most part. Traditional defensive end. He didn't really play any off-ball linebacker. There were plays as the day went on where he didn't contain. There was a keeper for the dual threat quarterback Martinez around the corner where he ripped off a nice 13-yard run that I kind of pin on Davis. There was another run where he lost contain, was a 24-yard run. So he clearly is new to the position, has a lot of work to do. Mixed bag for him. But I think the most telling thing about Jamin Davis's preseason game, all of his work was at his new position. And secondly, he was on the field on the final drive.
Hard not to notice that.
Final couple of minutes of the game. He is absolutely fighting for a roster spot.
Yeah, that is the one of my few takeaways. Obviously, non-Jaden Daniels division of this game were a couple of guys that we are familiar with playing way later than all their contemporaries.
Who else?
Dotson played deep into the second quarter, and big Fidarian Mathis played into the second half.
Fidarian Mathis could be in big trouble.
It's hard not to. Now, for Dotson, I don't think it's a takeaway that he's in trouble. I think they're just getting him some extra work.
Yeah,
but for those other guys, it's like, it's hard not to go, that's got to mean something that they're in that late in the game.
I wonder with Dotson if he's moving to slot more and they wanted to get him some more looks or work there. I'm not really sure. But yeah, that's definitely interesting. I think Mathis, if you're just doing a numbers crunch, you can pretty easily draw up a way where he could be on the outside looking in.
Very easily.
D-tackle. Payne, Allen, Johnny Newton, John Ridgeway. That's four. Benning Potoai made a nice play that, you know, he and Mathis are fighting for the fifth spot.
Yep.
At a position where you normally only keep four anyway. So if you're keeping four, Payne, Allen, Newton, and then you could keep Ridgeway over Mathis if you chose to.
And easily. A guy with pelts on the wall who's been pretty solid in his role in Ridgeway.
Probably cheaper.
Yeah. So then you start to add the defensive end quandary is interesting too, because it's like that's a bodies thing. So in addition to Armstrong, it's a four-headed monster. You know, it's guys like Farrell.
I think you got a platoon.
Fowler, platoon.
Farrell on rundowns, Fowler on pass downs on the other side.
Then I thought KJ Henry showed well. That was going to be a guy I shouted out as
big,
someone.
Big reps, yep.
I thought it was good.
He did a really good job staying with.
On that read option play.
Yeah, like a quarterback naked, got him to the ground, and he had another nice play later where he got into the backfield and was disruptive.
But then you add in, you know, the guy they drafted in John Baptiste, he's probably a practice squad guy, but still, all of a sudden, there's a numbers problem for defensive linemen. You just easily got to 10 before you included Fidarian Mathis, frankly, or Jamin Davis, if that's what he's going to be.
How about Emmanuel Forbes? I thought Forbes got a bit of a raw deal from people from this perspective. He had a really bad play that went for a touchdown. I thought he did, otherwise, some okay things. Like, if you watch every snap of Emmanuel Forbes and his coverage, he had one really good play. Might have even been the first time they threw the ball down the left sideline, kind of the top of the
first
TV screen,
mm-hmm.
Going left to right. They went way down the field, and Forbes was in coverage, plastering a receiver, kind of boxing him out from the football. Exactly how you would draw that up. Was the closest guy to the rock. So that was really good. I give him a plus. The touchdown was not a great technique play at all. It was a minus. You got beat there. Mm-hmm. You burned for a touchdown. But I think the takeaway from a lot of people was, get this dude out of here. He hasn't learned. He's still not going to help them. That's just silly. You know, after one bad snap in a preseason game, I don't know. That seemed ridiculous to me. At a position where you're going to have a couple bad plays every single game. Like, the best corners in the league get beat for touchdowns, give up completions. I'm not saying I'm betting on Emmanuel Forbes, and if I'm coming off as a Forbes fan, that's not my intention. But I do think we need to be fair and realistic here. He was on the field for a lot of snaps, and there was one that went for a touchdown that everyone pounced on.
So I thought this was going to be my hot take of the day, that until that touchdown happened, I was going to go, you know who played really well on defense is Emmanuel Forbes. As I'm watching this game, I'm fast forwarding through all the commercials because I watched it afterwards, real time. And I'm going, he's involved all over the field. I mean, there was one play that was negated via penalty. The pass breakup you mentioned, he was involved in a couple early tackles close to the line of scrimmage. He was flying around. He was very noticeable on screen. Then the touchdown happened. I can't defend that, and apparently neither can he. Dun, 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 dun. But I don't think he's any good still. I think that my ceiling or my hope for him is gone from huge difference maker, turnover machine that Ron Rivera thought he was going to be. But I'm not saying, you know, throw him away, cut him. It's a waste of time. There's something there. I think there's an NFL cornerback there.
One significant update given from Dan Quinn today on the injury front that I was really interested in hearing on the offensive line that could be a big, big deal. We'll get to that next as we discuss the Commanders during camp. All of our coverage of football this time of year is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I was a little surprised to see Dan Quinn answer this question today, and you'll hear Quinn's press conference coming up a little after 6 o'clock right here on The Fan as he broke down everything from the preseason game and laid out the plan ahead for this week with the Dolphins, joint practices coming up, and then a preseason tilt in Miami. But he was asked which non-starter stood out on tape after his eval, and he said he thought that on the first punt, I was glad to see, quote, Tyler Owens. He released, he got singled, made a tackle. I felt that kind of speed of him, he was somebody that jumped out to me. We talked a lot about Tyler Owens on Friday. He's been one of the talks at training camp, an undrafted free agent who had an incredible combine, really, really athletic player who was an inch away basically from the broad jump world record at the combine. Just super off the charts athleticism, and he's constantly made plays in camp. So to see him make the first tackle on punt coverage is certainly going to turn some heads. The other player that Dan Quinn singled out was running back Michael Wiley, who played late in the game. He said, I've been waiting for him to try to bust a few to see where he can be. We haven't seen all the catches that he has, but I did see some plays being made by him as well. Look, he played at the end of the game. Same as you said about Luke McCaffrey. If you really want to find out about a guy like Wiley, you got to get him in there earlier.
Yeah, let's see.
Against some NFL players, but those are the two names. On defense, Tyler Owens, undrafted free agent, and on offense, running back Michael Wiley are the two guys that Dan Quinn singled out.
Owens, speed-wise, you can't not see it, right? I mean, like, very quickly, he has kind of like a signature sort of look as well with like the hair coming out of his helmet, and he moves so fast.
He's also huge.
Yeah, like, it's sort of like, I hate to evoke a legendary figure, but the same way you'd go, Sean Taylor, I know, is lined up with the safeties, but that's not a regular safety. They're, you know what I mean? Like, if he wandered into the linebacker office, people would be fine with it. Like, that guy is big and huge and fast.
Yeah, 6'2", 215, and he held his own in some one-on-ones that I saw, DB, wide receiver, which are designed clearly for the wideout.
Well, he was up at the line of scrimmage, too, on a play. I don't know if he got called into the box or something like that, but I remember him having to take on some contact of a large gentleman and kind of held fine in a run play.
Started at Texas, transferred to Texas Tech. Wiley, by the way, running back from Arizona, undrafted free agent this year as well as a Houston, Texas native listed 5'10 and about 210 pounds. The injury update from Dan Quinn that I referenced was Brandon Coleman. Word today is that Brandon Coleman is day-to-day, is what Dan Quinn said, because after the game, it was day-to-day, week-to-week. Well, those two things are not the same, right? Day-to-day means maybe we'll see him on Friday. Week-to-week means maybe we'll see him before the start of the season. And it sounded more day-to-day. I actually saw some video of the early portion of practice that some of the reporters were putting out today, and Brandon Coleman was out there with the rest of the offensive line when they were just doing some individual stuff. Like, he was jogging, no contact, but he was trotting around. I don't think he's going to play against the Dolphins. They knew before game day that Brandon Coleman wasn't going to go. I'd heard it didn't sound like he was going to play going back to Saturday against the Jets. But now it even makes more sense if they still think he's going to miss the Dolphins game. Truly a bummer, because this is the third-round pick. This is the guy that we've been talking about maybe as the left tackle. And that could, I guess, still happen. But I'll bet you they'd feel a lot better about it if they could have seen him go out there and play against the Jets and look good.
Or no doubt.
Certainly the Dolphins game, if this is the dress rehearsal where you're actually going to go up against a legitimate edge for, you know, 20, 25 reps or something like that, then you could actually go into week one feeling like, I'm confident in Brandon Coleman, rather than just wondering what it's going to look like. So this is a tough setback, I think, for the operation of trying to get him on the field to start the year.
Everything you said, rubber stamp that. Add in, this is already a pretty new offensive line with, you know, two interior guys in flux. The left tackle is a different player than it was before, right? The right side presumably is going to have some continuity. Sounds like a promising report on Andrew Wiley and his health. Sam Cosmi, I think, is a standout. But you're talking about, you know, a new quarterback, three offensive linemen from the center over all the way over to the left are brand new. So there's not an opportunity to work together in game and communicate and go through those kind of reps. And especially for a rookie in that regard. And this, again, this is already a thing that I've hammered a million times. People are probably sick of it, but you get the most prized possession you've had in more than a decade back there. And I'm not really sure who's going to play left tackle this week. Like, how can anyone be okay? That's where I'm at.
Well, how about they open the preseason? Now, luckily, the Jets didn't play anybody of note rushing the quarterback at all. But Chris Paul was at right tackle.
Yeah.
Chris Paul's a guard, right? I mean, you were on left tackle number three, basically.
Trent Scott got the nod, right?
Yeah, Trent Scott. So that's, you've got Coleman. Then you've got Cornelius Lucas. Then you've got Andrew Wiley. Then you've got Trent Scott at the tackle position. He's your fourth best tackle. On the left side, I don't think there's any idea that Wiley would ever play over there. So let's say he's your third left tackle. So you had your third left tackle and probably like your fourth right tackle, or I don't know. I've never seen Chris Paul play there, certainly in a game setting. I don't even know on the depth chart a week or two from now after you signed Alex Taylor and brought in the guys that they have, if he would start over them with a little more time in the building for the other guys. So that was how Jaden Daniels made his debut. And when I saw those guys were the starting tackles, I thought, all right, he's going to hand the ball off and get out of there. I mean, there's just no way they're going to drop him back. And they didn't really. I mean, the one long throw was a three-step drop and all go. There wasn't a whole lot of holding up in front of him, although I will say the pocket was very clean. Like, that's as easy a throw, not the difficulty of the toss because it was beautiful, but in this league, you're not going to have a better, cleaner pocket than he did. He could step into it, didn't have to deal with anything around him. And then the other two throws he made were, you know, the overshot screen to Eckler and the wide receiver screen. So what they actually called, we know, was three screens. That tells you a lot about what they thought about the tackle situation.
Exactly,
too.
Yeah. We're not going to sit here and do any long developing play. There's no double moves here in week number one as this is in flux. But yeah, I mean, this Coleman, it's hard to overstate the importance. And
like, if Cornelius Lucas starts and is really good, then maybe it's not as important. But Brandon Coleman is a linchpin to the draft, looking dynamite early in the year, I think. And I've been saying this. If you're Peters in this front office, Newmark and Company, and Jaden Daniels is a dude, and Brandon Coleman's your starting left tackle, it's a little bit house money after that. Like, I love Johnny Newton. I think he's going to be a baller. But if you got your quarterback and your left tackle at the top of this draft, anything else is just icing on the cake. And it might be some really good icing. Maybe Johnny Newton's great. Maybe Ben Sinnott's the real deal. Maybe Luke McCaffrey's a stud. I mean, you have a chance at a historic great draft class. But if you get your starting quarterback and your left tackle at two of the highest paid positions in the league together for the next 5 years of control on rookie deals, you've just made your life so much easier.
I think that's a great perspective on it. I turn kind of and look at it in a slightly different way where I go, what a huge, enormous risk to not have certainty at that spot. It's not like a guy that went in, you know, the third pick of the second round is their left tackle, a guy that was a projected first rounder that fell through the cracks. It's not like the second pick in the second round or the third pick of the second round. This is a third rounder at a position that everybody kind of looks and goes, I'm not the smartest football guy in the world. I understand that. It looks like there's a pretty big need at left tackle. The guy that's an incumbent is a swing tackle from the previous regime. The guy that started over him isn't good enough to be on your roster anymore. Looks like a pretty big hole there. Looks like somebody would want to do something about that. And if there's something is, we got it, trust us, watch this, and he's good, A, it means you got a good left tackle, which is, we know the benefit there. That's a boon. And your rookie quarterback is paired with him. That's a boon. It also means that you're outmaneuvering everybody. You find one of the three or four most valuable positions in this sport in the third round. You are on easy street. You're smarter than the other 28, 29, 30, 31 teams you're trying to outmaneuver in the draft every year. And we should feel great about it. But mostly from a football perspective, this is the scary part to me.
I always present the caveat before I say what I'm about to, that I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum, and I really don't want to rain on any parades. Because I think getting excited is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important, and you guys should be excited. There's been nothing but positive, good signs since the start of training camp for Jaden Daniels. And I would say 95% of all signs from the moment they drafted him, which is the line of demarcation for me, because I'm not sure if that was the case before the draft with some of the quirky reporting coming out and his agent leaking things that weren't great. But since the moment they drafted him until right now, we're batting like .957 with Jaden Daniels. Since training camp to right now, we're probably batting .996, right? It's all been good. But I am a person who's just skeptical of making a ton out of small preseason samples. I would just say in general, I don't take a ton out of the preseason, but a big preseason sample is a little bit different. You know, if it's three games and 37 throws or something, that's certainly different than we're excited about a play, we're excited about three plays. But it's not just a Jaden Daniels point. I would say the same thing about J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. I would say the same thing about Bo Nix in Denver, right? Even for Washington on the positive side with Ben Sinnott, who made a really nice play for 44 yards. If that one play doesn't happen or he goes down right away, like the whole dialogue is different. Mm-hmm. And that should not be the sample size of, you know, how we're deciding what a player is, if that makes sense.
It does.
We just have so much meat still on the bone, so little to actually know, that we're just over talking about these really minute samples, which is where you can make mistakes and it's a little scary. But that said, if the question is how much do you take out of the preseason, I don't think it should be zero. Like, to me, this is more valuable than the practices, especially at quarterback and for guys trying to break tackles on offense. So it's a little is my answer. Not a lot, but it's certainly not zero. And I think people that take zero out of this and just say, oh, whatever, wake me up when the bullets are flying in September, I think you're doing it wrong too.
It's a good way to put it. I find myself arguing against both sides on this one, both, you know, both ends of the spectrum. The it's totally meaningless crowd, it's not meaningful, right? There's no preseason championship, right? Despite what John Harbaugh and the Ravens would have you believe. It's also not the end-all be-all, right? Because we've seen, and basically when you start to look at the performances, as you said, good or bad, for the good, when people want to crown someone after a preseason, we can, you know, jokingly talk about that preseason Hall of Fame of illustrious Washington players, the Marco Mitchells, the Marcus Whites, the Marcus Masons of the world. A lot of M first names right there for me. But it's so what? Those guys performed really well in the preseason and they're barely on rosters and they're afterthoughts and it's kind of a punchline. It's also, though, when a guy looks like he's totally lost and overwhelmed and just can't hang, and someone goes, it's just the preseason, it doesn't matter. Well, hold on, not so fast. That's kind of where I find myself, right? Where if you pass the threshold of looks like an NFL player, looks like this is worth pursuing, okay, cool. I'm not going to parse up, you know, whether a pass was complete or not, or, you know, a block was made, or you gained a certain number of yards, whatever. But when it looks like the bottom has fallen out, I think that's worth discussion. And it's also basically, once you cross the threshold, let's keep going.
The Nats do not play tonight. They are off. They'll be in Baltimore taking on the Orioles in a two-game series tomorrow and Wednesday. for the Nats, Jake Irvin and DJ Hers scheduled to pitch in those two games in Baltimore. We'll be breaking them down tomorrow on the show. All of our baseball coverage on The Fan presented by T-Mobile. That does mean, though, we'll have extra time in our final segment to hear from Dan Quinn. So you'll hear his press conference today coming up in a little over 20 minutes, right at 6 o'clock. Next on Grant and Danny, let's take you around the National Football League right here on The Fan. James Wood has been putting on a clinic, quality at bats one after another for the Nationals. Got that OPS at 21 years old as a rookie in a bad lineup on a bad team, up to almost 800. I tell you this because we've got some pretty cool shirts to rock James Wood's rookie season, support the kids, support the Nats during the stretch run this year. You can go grab those at the 106.7 The Fan merch shop. We've got Wood, Cruz Wood, 24. I'm thinking Dylan Cruz, who homered in consecutive games Friday and Saturday, maybe could get the call in early September. Go get yours now at 106.7thefanshop.com.
I got a compliment at the beach on my We've Got Wood shirt.
Did you?
A fellow Nats fan noticed and acknowledged the shirt and said, "Hey, I like that one." I said, "Thank you very much." He said, "Go Nats." I said, "Yes, indeed."
Always a good feeling. Let's get you around the NFL. Some headlines of the day. We start with Caleb Williams, who looked pretty sharp for the Chicago Bears in his preseason debut. We've been celebrating the big throw from Jaden Daniels. They had a couple of those to choose from Caleb Williams in his first game. Looked as advertised, the number one overall pick, showing the Bears fans what they've been missing for some 30 years.
Pressure coming. Williams flicks one and completes it to Swift into Buffalo territory. And he's tripped up around the 20-yard line.
Dateline Dallas. Jerry Jones knows he put his foot in his mouth.
He
acknowledged,
he does.
"I got in a little trouble. I probably shouldn't have said the thing I said." Now, this was Jerry Jones today with a little mea culpa.
"I think I got in trouble a little the other day when I said, we're not urgent about CD. Well, no one appreciates CD being on the field any more than I do. But let me say this, he wouldn't be taking a snap out here today if he'd been here for a while. You've got to use your head when you expose key players. That gives the other younger players a chance to do it. We know exactly what CD can do, and he's worked out with Dak."
Oh, so that's what he meant.
He just meant he wasn't going to play a lot in the preseason.
No urgency to get it done because he's not going to play in these games anyway. He's too good, and we would never risk him. By the way, that definitely feels like we're on NFL Network. Reach out to them. I want to talk. I'd like to clear the air a little bit. I'd like to clear up what I said. That's what he meant, I guess?
Yeah.
No urgency to get it done?
I don't believe you. One thing is about his football acumen, which everybody knows. Very, very good player. The other was about his contract, and you pretended one was about the other, and it's a lie.
I don't know who gets the gold medal for the rookie quarterbacks this week among the first-round picks who played in the preseason, and that gold medal doesn't get you very far. It just means you played more than the other guys. But Bo Nix would be in the running for his debut with Sean Payton out in Denver. They hung 34 on the Colts in a win. Bo Nix, 15 of 21 for a buck 25 and a touchdown. Doesn't mean anything, but Bo Nix looks sharp.
Nix throws, touchdown. Touchdown grab for Denver, Marvin Mims Jr. on the touchdown reception.
Yeah, boy, did he get rid of that ball in a hurry.
By the way, are they going to use Marvin Mims this year? Because remember last year what they would do is he would go out on the field, he would catch like a 47-yard pass, and then he would not play again the rest of the game. You remember the game against Washington? I think he had like 2 for 111 or something crazy. He was like 3 for 113, and that was the only
And they were
plays.
Like, stop throwing it to him. Stop it.
Now, this is going to get a little personal. Nobody cares about this. I had him on my fantasy team. Not like fantasy, like dynasty fantasy.
Okay.
So I have a personal interest in this, but I am curious, as an aside from just my fantasy team, Danny, which no one cares about, Are we going to play this guy? He was really good.
Is it ever going to be a thing?
They didn't like using him. That's the thing that always annoys me, too, is when the team knows more. They know, like, the guy doesn't know the playbook, or the guy isn't good enough, or the guy can't run these routes, or he can't block, or whatever it is. We don't know it. We just see that every now and then he plays, and he makes a play. Like, I'll give you a good Washington comp. Remember Rashad Ross, wide receiver of the Rocket?
Super fast.
He would have great games in the preseason. And then in the regular season, he would catch a ball like 17, 18 yards, then he wouldn't play again for like 3 weeks. And then I would talk to someone, they're like, dude, he doesn't know the playbook. He lines up in the wrong spot. We've burned 2 timeouts because he's not, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they would always have these reasons as an example. Then he was on the XFL Defenders. That was my guy. He lit it up in the XFL. There's certain guys I never can quite understand why it doesn't work out. Marvin Mims, get him on the field. Seems like he can play.
Well, those guys happen all the time. Like when you spend a high draft pick on like a Bijan Robinson and they're like, Tyler Algier with his 35th carry of the game. And you're like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Putting preseason in perspective, we got to find a veteran quarterback to discuss the exhibition games. Joe Burrow of the Bengals doing the honors.
Not much of an adrenaline rush, I would say. Not like week one will be. You know, I knew I wasn't playing a ton, but it was nice to get back out there.
I had an adrenaline rush sitting on my couch. Joe Burrow might not have. The dopamine was hitting for me. Just sitting there watching football. Let's do this thing.
That's a cool dude. He's got his nickname for a reason. That guy is cool, calm, and collected. His hand proverbially never shakes.
Matthew Judon of the New England Patriots, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reporting today. Multiple teams have inquired about trading for the pass rusher amid his contract stalemate with New England. Judon, final year with the Patriots, set to make $6.5 million. The Commanders have that kind of money. Edge is certainly an area where they're okay, probably not a whole lot better than that. Any chance they're one of those teams calling the 32-year-old? I doubt it. But what do you think?
What's this year about? Like, where would it fit in the plan? If you want to be a little bit better this year, he could help you.
I mean, they signed 30 guys, a lot of them to one-year deals.
So yeah.
I would say their plan this year is to try to win some football games and change the culture.
If you want to be a little bit better, that helps, but at the expense of what? You know, are you giving up a second? Are you giving up multiple picks?
For 1 year left?
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah, so, but I don't know.
Would you give up a 5 for him? I don't know that they would. Would you give up 4? Probably not.
Somewhere in there, I'd start talking to you. But this is a guy not far removed from, you know, having a 12.5, 15.5 sack season. I don't know if I'm paying for the next handful of years or he'll be 32, 33, 34 for me. So I don't know. I'm interested, though.
2 or 3 year deal going into this offseason maybe would be interesting. Speaking of edge rushers, Hassan Reddick wants to be traded again. Traded from the Eagles to the Jets this offseason. Has never played for the Jets yet. And he's already demanding a trade as he can't come to a new contract.
That is awkward.
So the Eagles didn't want to pay him. The Jets trade for him. They haven't agreed to terms yet, and now he's demanded a trade from them as well. What if he had 3 teams in one offseason and one that he never even played for? Grant and Danny on the Fan. You'll hear from Dan Quinn today, looking back at preseason action from game number 1 next on G&D. James Wood has been putting on a clinic. Quality at bats, one after another for the Nationals. Got that OPS at 21 years old as a rookie in a bad lineup on a bad team, up to almost 800. I tell you this because we've got some pretty cool shirts to rock James Wood's rookie season, support the kids, support the Nats during the stretch run this year. You can go grab those at the 106.7 The Fan merch shop. We've got Wood, Cruz Wood, 24. I'm thinking Dylan Cruz, who homered in consecutive games Friday and Saturday, maybe could get the call in early September. Go get yours now at 1067thefanshop.com.
I got a compliment at the beach on my We've Got Wood shirt.
Did you?
A fellow Nats fan noticed and acknowledged the shirt and said, hey, I like that one. I said, thank you very much. He said, go Nats. I said, yes, indeed.
Always a good feeling. Let's get you around the NFL. Some headlines of the day we start with Caleb Williams, who looked pretty sharp for the Chicago Bears in his preseason debut. We've been celebrating the big throw from Jaden Daniels. They had a couple of those to choose from Caleb Williams in his first game. Looked as advertised, the number one overall pick, showing the Bears fans what they've been missing for some 30 years.
Pressure coming. Williams flicks one and completes it to Swift into Buffalo territory. And he's tripped up around the 20-yard line.
Dateline Dallas. Jerry Jones knows he put his foot in his mouth.
Yes, he
acknowledged, I got in a little trouble. I probably shouldn't have said the thing I said. This was Jerry Jones today with a little mea culpa.
I think I got in trouble a little the other day when I said, look, we're not urgent about CD. Well, no one appreciates CD being on the field any more than I do. But let me say this. He wouldn't be taking a snap out here today if he'd been here for a while. You've got to use your head when you expose key players. That gives the other younger players a chance to do it. We know exactly what CD can do, and he's worked out with Dak.
Oh, so that's what he meant.
He just meant he wasn't going to play a lot in the preseason.
No urgency to get it done because he's not going to play in these games anyway. He's too good, and we would never risk him. By the way, that definitely feels like a, we're on NFL Network, reach out to them, I want to talk. I'd like to clear the air a little bit. I'd like to clear up what I said. That's what he meant, I guess?
Yeah.
No urgency to get it done?
I don't believe you. One thing is about his football acumen, which everybody knows. Very, very good player. The other was about his contract, and you pretended one was about the other, and it's a lie.
I don't know who gets the gold medal for the rookie quarterbacks this week among the first-round picks who played in the preseason, and that gold medal doesn't get you very far. It just means you played more than the other guys. But Bo Nix would be in the running for his debut with Sean Payton out in Denver. They hung 34 on the Colts in a win. Bo Nix, 15 of 21 for a buck 25 and a touchdown. Doesn't mean anything, but Bo Nix looks sharp.
Nix throws, touchdown. Touchdown grab for Denver, Marvin Mims Jr. on the touchdown reception.
Yeah, boy, did he get rid of that ball in a hurry.
By the way, are they going to use Marvin Mims this year? Because remember last year what they would do is he would go out on the field, he would catch like a 47-yard pass, and then he would not play again the rest of the game. You remember the game against Washington? I think he had like 2 for 111 or something crazy. He was like 3 for 113, and that was the only.
And they were like, "Stop throwing it to him! Stop it!"
Now this is going to get a little personal. Nobody cares about this. I had him on my fantasy team, not like fantasy, like dynasty fantasy.
Okay.
So I have a personal interest in this, but I am curious as an aside from just my fantasy team, Danny, which no one cares about.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to play this guy? He was really good.
Is it ever going to be a thing?
They didn't like using him. That's the thing that always annoys me too, is when the team knows more. They know, like, the guy doesn't know the playbook, or the guy isn't good enough, or the guy can't run these routes, or he can't block, or whatever it is. We don't know it. We just see that every now and then he plays, and he makes a play. Like, I'll give you a good Washington comp. Remember Rashad Ross, the wide receiver of the Rocket?
Super fast.
He would have great games in the preseason. And then in the regular season, he would catch a ball like 17, 18 yards, then he wouldn't play again for like 3 weeks. And then I would talk to someone, they're like, dude, he doesn't know the playbook. He lines up in the wrong spot. We've burned 2 timeouts because he's not, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they would always have these reasons as an example. Then he was on the XFL Defenders. That was my guy. He lit it up in the XFL. There's just certain guys I never can quite understand why it doesn't work out. Marvin Mims, get him on the field. Seems like he can play.
Well, those guys happen all the time. Like when you spend a high draft pick on like a Bijan Robinson and they're like, Tyler Algier with his 35th carry of the game. And you're like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Putting preseason in perspective, we got to find a veteran quarterback to discuss the exhibition games. Joe Burrow of the Bengals doing the honors.
Not much of an adrenaline rush, I would say. Not like week one will be. You know, I knew I wasn't playing a ton, but it was nice to get back out there.
I had an adrenaline rush sitting on my couch. Joe Burrow might not have. The dopamine was hitting for me. Just sitting there. Watching football, let's do this thing.
That's a cool dude. He's got his nickname for a reason. That guy is cool, calm, and collected. His hand proverbially never shakes.
Matthew Judon of the New England Patriots, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reporting today. Multiple teams have inquired about trading for the pass rusher amid his contract stalemate with New England. Judon, final year with the Patriots, set to make $6.5 million. The Commanders have that kind of money. Edge is certainly an area where they're okay, probably not a whole lot better than that. Any chance they're one of those teams calling the 32-year-old? I doubt it. What do you think?
What's this year about? Like, where would it fit in the plan? If you want to be a little bit better this year, he can help you.
I mean, they signed 30 guys, a lot of them to one-year deals.
So yeah.
I would say their plan this year is to try to win some football games and change the culture.
If you want to be a little bit better, that helps, but at the expense of what? Are you giving up a second? Are you giving up multiple picks?
For 1 year left?
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah, so, but I don't know.
Would you give up a 5 for him? I don't know that they would. Would you give up 4? Probably not.
Somewhere in there, I'd start talking to you. But this is a guy not far removed from, you know, having a 12.5, 15.5 sack season. I don't know if I'm paying for the next handful of years where he'll be 32, 33, 34 for me. So I don't know. Interested, though.
2 or 3 year deal going into this offseason maybe would be interesting. Speaking of Ed Rushers, Hassan Reddick wants to be traded again. Traded from the Eagles to the Jets this offseason. Has never played for the Jets yet. And he's already demanding a trade as he can't come to a new contract.
That is awkward.
So the Eagles didn't want to pay him. The Jets trade for him. They haven't agreed to terms yet, and now he's demanded a trade from them as well. What if he had 3 teams in one offseason and one that he never even played for? Grant and Danny on the Fan. You'll hear from Dan Quinn today, looking back at preseason action from game number 1 next on G&D.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.